You know, if you've been influenced by a teacher at some point in your life, well, this is the week to show your gratitude. Teacher Appreciation Week kicks off today, and what better way to recognize the important role that teachers play in our lives than to talk to one? Christina Torres teaches 8th grade English at Punahou School, and she's one of a handful of local teachers participating in National Geographic Society's Both and Forum for Educators. She spoke with The Conversation's Russell Subiono about teaching in current times, what post-pandemic education might look like, and how everyone can show their appreciation for teachers.
A year into the pandemic, what are some of the challenges teachers are still working through that the public may not know about?
You know, I first want to recognize that I'm definitely coming from a position of privilege in that I teach at an independent school that, you know, has a lot of financial resources. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've certainly struggled, and my colleagues and I have certainly struggled. And I also recognize that folks in public schools, particularly in rural and urban areas, are even seeing much more of that struggle, because I don't think personally that we fund public education in the way that we should. I do think one big thing that we're seeing as a result of the pandemic is just how much teachers have historically been asked to play every role in a student's life for a very long time.
Right.
Teachers are often also counselors, therapists, social workers. You know, they fulfill all of these needs in a student's life. And I think that's something that we've been bearing the brunt of for a really long time. And then trying to do that in a pandemic while also trying to take care of ourselves feels like a near impossible task sometimes. Right. Because we are also exhausted and scared for our health and our wellness and our families, just like everyone else is. So I think recognizing the teacher is as human, you know, also a lot of teachers were kind of thrown into this completely new way of education. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm pretty tech savvy. I grew up with a computer. My degree is actually in digital education, and I still struggled with trying to move everything online. It's really hard. And so I think also that understanding of, like, we are human and figuring this out right along with students is really, really valuable for everyone to remember. Because a lot of teachers that were 5, 10, 15 years in were saying, this is harder than my first year of teaching, just because there's so many new things and trying to manage all the emotional needs that our students very understandably had. Many of us without the resources to do so was really difficult.
The National Geographic Society reached out to us and kind of told us of some of the efforts that they were doing to help teachers. And they also shared with us a little bit about some work they had done with you, or some feedback they had gotten from you. And so what I understand, the National Geographic Society has this global community of educators and has given them an open forum to express themselves and reflect on the last year. During Teacher Appreciation Week, the Society is calling on teachers to share their both and moments of both struggle and strength, of both hope and healing. Can you share with our listeners more about this forum and how it's helped you?
The Both and Forum is an opportunity for teachers to share and really kind of name sort of the struggle that I just talked about, with the tension maybe that I just talked about within mm-hmm. education, right? Our profession is beautiful and so awe-inspiring and so, so life-giving in so many ways. And at the same time, it is very, very difficult. And it's a very difficult profession that I do sometimes feel like is undervalued in our society.
Yeah.
or misrepresented.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that do look at teachers sometimes as, you know, glorified babysitters. Mm-hmm. Or they're like, well, they assume that we just kind of do whatever with kids all day instead of realizing that there's a lot of really advanced thought that goes into our practice. So the Both and Forum is the opportunity for teachers to share their hopes, their struggles, their ideas for next year. And I found it, when I did it, a really great reflection tool for this year, a really great kind of place for me to give myself pause and think about, okay, as the school year is wrapping up, which is a crazy time for a lot of educators, mm-hmm. what do I want to remember about this time? What do I want to maybe let go in the past? And what do I want to bring with me in the future? And so I found that really, really important to be considering.
After we emerge from the pandemic and things go back to some semblance of normal on campuses, what do you think the education system will look like? What are some of the processes we might keep from the pandemic era? And what are some new challenges you think that we'll have to address?
What a great question. And something that I've been wrestling. I'm pausing because I've been wrestling with this question, you know, all this past year too. Like, what does this mean for our future? I think some things that we're going to see have to change, or that we're going to see added on rather, is I think we're going to see an uptick in remote or digital opportunities for education. You know, as difficult as this time was for many, many people, and I think many, many people want to get off their Zoom screens or their WebEx or their Google Meet screens, I think we also saw some people realize, and some students realize, you know, that I learn really well this way. Or like, you know, this actually works really well for me. And there are already schools, even on island, right, like Hawaii, the Hawaii Tech Academy actually already had kind of a hybrid model like this, where the kids would learn sometimes at home and sometimes in the classroom. And I do think we're going to see an increase and a desire for those kinds of programs, because some students really like having that flexibility.
Yeah.
And I think that flexibility is important if we can provide equitable access to it, because for some students, that might be a really powerful way to get them reconnected to their education. So that, I think, could be really interesting to see. I also really hope that we take on and we continue, you know, sort of this idea of flexibility overall. I've seen a lot of teachers, myself included, kind of rethink assessments or try and provide other options, opportunities, or methods for assessing students outside of maybe more traditional testing. And I think that could be a really powerful thing for us to move forward, because we're realizing that, you know, a multiple choice test has never been a great measure of a student's whole education overall. And
right,
so how can we start moving away from that, you know? And even schools getting rid of the SATs and things like that, I think that's a really interesting conversation that I hope moves forward. But I think we're going to have to change and do, though, you know, the biggest thing for me in this whole thing has been equitable access to resources, particularly the internet. You know, I know that there were some programs here on island, like Hawaii Kids Can, that worked hard to kind of get digital hotspots up for students. And that's something that really needs to be normalized, continued, or even pushed farther into providing high, you know, high quality internet services for everyone. I think it is part of the greater public good if everyone can connect and have access to information. And so I think that is just one of many kind of inequities that the pandemic really brought to light. And so we're going to have to address some of those inequities if we want to really move forward.
The pandemic, as hard and as terrible as it has been on a lot of people in a lot of ways, it seems like it created an opportunity for education to kind of rethink some things. And I hope that there's some good things that come out of it, and some adjustments made to adapting to different learning styles for different students. I just have one last question. How can parents and the public best show their appreciation for teachers this week?
I think some things that we can do to help teachers or show teachers that we appreciate them is one is, you know, reach out to your teacher. I think, and this is something that I think we as educators should also try and do more, and many educators do, and I've been trying to do more, is reach out with a positive note or a really positive affirmation. You know, yesterday I had a student come by. She's a sophomore now, so I had her, two or three years ago, and she came by to just say hi and just say, like, you know, I just wanted to say, like, I missed your class and I'm doing well. And it was such a great moment. And it's, I don't always think that students and parents realize how much that means to us as teachers. So just that little reach out to be like, hey, I noticed you did this and we really think it's great. Thank you for your work, is really powerful for a lot of us. And then, you know, that's one side. And then the other side of that is as much as I think all teachers appreciate gifts and gift cards and, you know, snacks, I love those things. I always love a nice snack. I think it's also, you know, realizing what our larger role in society is and listening to our voices and listening to our stories. You know, so often I think teachers kind of end up being put in this box of the classroom and, well, you don't understand, you're just working with kids all day. And, you know, we are professionals. Many of us have worked very, very hard to get our degrees, our advanced degrees, our certifications. So I think, you know, on a larger scale, outside of the very wonderful presents and things that we get from students, you know, starting to see our profession as one of an actual, you know, profession of that professionalism that we try and embody with our students. Teaching is a lot of fun, and we get to be silly and have a lot of really great, wonderful times with our kids, but it is tough work. And I think the public and parents' help in shifting that perception would be really powerful for a lot of us.
Going back to snacks, what's your favorite snack?
Student parent community out here in Hawaii makes the best Chex Mix. Oh my God. And I didn't grow up here, and so I didn't really have Chex Mix in the same way, you know, as on the mainland. Mm-hmm. And then I came out here and I was like, there's honeycomb and furikake, and what is this magic? So good. And, you know, you don't really get that now because of the pandemic, because people aren't doing homemade snacks as much, which I fully understand. But I have missed the Chex Mix. I missed it.
Local Chex Mix. I love it.
That was our Russell Subiano talking with Christina Torres, a teacher at Punahou School. Do you have a teacher you want to give a shout out to? Leave a voicemail on our talkback line, 808-792-8217, or send an email to talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org, and we will share your mahalo message on the air.